It's good to see you. Good to be back. I just wish you'd have me at a warmer time of year. It's always cold. Last time I was up here, it snowed. What a terrible thing, and I don't care when you have me. I'm just glad to be here. Do we have any church here tonight that brought seven or more? All right, well, Harry, come on up here and get it, please. Giving away a week of camp to every church that brings seven or more. Let's give them a big hand. It's only good at Camp Victory.
Oh, it's only good.
Not good in Sailor, not good in West Virginia. Okay. Anyone else? Going once. You guys are weird. Somebody just take me out and beat me until I can't stand up. All right, Psalm 80. I think what I want to do tonight, just go ahead and read the whole psalm. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. Thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Isn't that a good prayer to pray? Come save us. Turn us again, O God. Now, three times the psalmist here uses that phrase, turn us again, O God. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Lord, Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us to strife unto our neighbors, and the enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs into the sea, and her branches under the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck at her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, and look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine. The vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branches that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of the right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So we will not go back from thee, quickeness, and we will call upon thy name. And here's the last time. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Father in heaven, please, once again, you know my heart. You know that I say this more than... It's like I was sitting there thinking, Lord, how many times we use the word, I'm sorry, the phrase, I'm sorry, and sometimes the phrase, I'm sorry, just don't cut it. It's just not enough. And even what would have been said here tonight, with all the songs of thanksgiving, praise, sometimes just saying thank you is just not enough. But Lord, if I've said this once, I've said it hundreds of times, I can't do this without you. I have no desire to do it without you. You know the strength of my body and my spirit tonight. And you know that it would be so much easier to just get in the car and go home. But Lord, this is what you called us to do all those years ago. And I have learned, Father, that without you I can do nothing. So for the sake of your glory, for the sake of your people, for the sake of our joy, would you come and visit this vine tonight? Would you turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine upon us that we might be saved? Hear our prayers. Hear our supplications unto thee. For the sake of these people, once again, I ask this, my Lord. They came to get something from your word. So I pray that that'll be the case. Use this unworthy servant Help us, Father, to be a benefit to these people. In Christ's sweet name I pray. Amen. Let's look again. Verse 3 turns again. O God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Look down again at verse 7. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And then verse 19. Turn us again, O God, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. You know, the problem with us is we're not desperate. We're not desperate. We're like the church at Laodicea. We're rich and have need of nothing. But Jesus said, no, you're blind and naked and destitute. And he said, you should take counsel of me to go buy eye salve that you might see. Problem with the church of Jesus Christ in 2019 and soon to be 2020 is we're just not desperate. We're just not desperate. You know, desperate people get through to God. Desperate people touch the throne of grace. And we're not desperate. We don't feel the need to be turned. We don't have a desire to be turned. We're complacent. We're satisfied. We are rich and have need of nothing. But oh, how miserable we actually are. So I don't want to hear that. You know why you don't want to hear it? Because you're not desperate. Satisfied, complacent. Remember the woman, the Syrophoenician woman? Boy, I love this story. Furthest that Jesus ever traveled from home was to Syrophoenicia, approximately right around 150 miles. He goes there, this desperate woman beseeches the apostles, the disciples, to help her with her sick daughter. They finally turn to Christ. They get desperate. Wrong kind of desperation. They were tired of being bugged. They were tired of being bothered. They were tired of being pestered. And so they go to Jesus and he said, send her away. Send her away, for she bothers us. She comes in her desperation. She's not a Jew. She's a Syrophoenician woman up there close to the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. She's desperate. She has a sick daughter. Now look at me, folks. I know you as mothers and fathers. You get pretty desperate when your little loved one gets sick. We all got sick and aging bodies, and we get pretty desperate. She comes and falls at the feet of Jesus Christ and said, help me, Lord. My daughter is sick. And Jesus ignored her. Jesus just stood there. And I don't want to sound blasphemous and demeaning, but just kind of stood there possibly with his hands and his arms folded, ignoring the desperate cry of a woman. Finally, in her desperation, she keeps after him. And Jesus looks down and said, it is not meet. It is not right. It is not proper to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Did you know what? Listen to me. Right there, folks. She was ignored. Are we having fun yet? You know why we're not desperate? We think Jesus is Santa Claus. And I don't mean that in a literal sense. We think that all we have to do is go sit on his lap and we'll get whatever we want. And we quote that verse of scripture, I'll supply all your need. And we quote that verse of scripture, I'm with you always. And we don't get desperate. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Listen, when we get desperate, we humble ourselves. And pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. That woman was desperate. She was ignored by Christ. I'll tell you the best thing that would happen to everyone in this room is to go pray and can't get through. See, I don't like that. We're just not desperate. Our relationship with him is not that important that we're not desperate to seek his. And the Bible does say, brother, thy Bible says, seek my face. Seek it. He's not playing hide and seek, but listen to me. He knew what he was doing with that Syrophoenician woman, with him ignoring her and then turning around and calling her a dog. Think about that. The loving Lord called that broken-hearted, desperate woman a dog. But you know what desperation will cause you to do? It'll cause you to do just what that woman did. Yes, Lord. You're right. I'm a dog. That's all I am. Lifted me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. Look at me. The problem with most of us is we have forgotten. We have forgotten that we were once purged from our old sins. We have forgotten in our minds somewhere along the way that we were in desperate shape when Jesus found us. In no better shape than the prodigal was when he got up out of the pig pen and said, I will arise and go to my father's house. Desperate and dirty. Hungry and starving. Needing a touch from the Father. Jesus said, it's not meat, it's not proper, it's not right, it's not the right thing to do to take his bread from the children and give it to the dogs. And she said, yea, Lord. Yes, you're right. But the dogs get the crumbs from off the master's table. And that's all he was looking for. Oh, I love this. I've rung a bell with some of you tonight. You know, I didn't come here to be called a dog. The problem is we're all dogs. We all have the stench of sin on us. We're all deserving of hell tonight, but God in his loving kindness sought us out, saved us. And we got saved because we were desperate. We were desperate. He that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And we're living in a time when the church of Jesus Christ is not desperate, not hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We don't look upon ourselves as sinners. The greatest Christian that ever lived outside of the Lord Jesus Christ said, oh wretched man that I am. He didn't say past tense. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said after being saved for 35 years, he made this declaration. Saved for 35 years. You'd think after 35 years, somebody would have attained. Would you not agree? But he said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He told the church of Philippi, he said, not that I have attained, neither count myself perfect, but I press toward the mark. Yes, Lord, I'm just a dog. I'm just a dog. And we're so fat and have need of nothing. We're so clothed in our own self-righteousness that we've forgotten. We have forgotten that we were once purged from our old sins. We're not hungry and desperate, but this psalmist was. Turn us again, O God. Cause thy face to shine upon us. He was part of the chosen people. Part of the only nation on the face of the earth that God looked upon, gave the oracles of God and the Ten Commandments, sent prophets by the dozens, gave them a land that they didn't have to work for, parted the Red Sea, so that they could get to that place of deliverance. But the psalmist says, now, give ear, O shepherd of Israel. And cause thy face to shine upon us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine. How desperate are we for tonight for a touch from God? How desperate are we tonight for a visitation of the Holy One of Israel? How desperate are we? Like I said, it would do us all good sometime to go get along with God. And the line's busy. What does he say here? Why do we need revival? Why shouldn't we not be desperate? Oh boy, I'm having fun with this. Desperation is a good thing when it takes us to the right end. The psalmist asked this question to God. After he said, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. And we're not talking about eternal salvation that we got the day we asked Christ to come into our heart. We're talking about being delivered. We're in a pig pen. Our families are sick. Our daughters and sons are dying. Our marriages are breaking up, and we've got a problem with drugs. It's called an epidemic. 70-some-odd thousand American citizens, and for the first time in my lifetime, the national average age expectancy has been going down in the last 5 years. Why? Because most of the people, not most of them, but 70,000 people under the age of 30 die of an overdose. We're not desperate. We're not desperate. We're satisfied to come to church, put in our time, go home, sit down and watch a football game and go back to sleep. Van Zander said revival means just last long enough for the church to wake up, roll over, and go back to sleep. The problem with most of us, in fact, he said something to that non-Jew, Brother Harry. In fact, he said something to a non-Jew. In fact, he never said this to a Jew. He came to his own. Do you all believe that? I don't believe the church has replaced Israel. If you do, open up your Bible and find out what the scriptures have to say. For a time, blindness is in part brought upon the nation of Israel. But when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, God's going to bring them up. And the Bible says, all Israel shall be saved in a day. These are special people. But you know, he said something twice to non-Jews. Like I said, he came to his own. He did rebuke his own disciples and said, oh, you little faith. He did say this to a group of Jews. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? But he said to this Syrophoenician woman, and he said to that Roman centurion, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. You go home and have it done unto you. You know, when you get through to God is when you see yourself and see myself as nothing more than undeserving dogs. And say, yes, Lord, I'm just an old stinking dog. But at least the dogs get the crumbs from off the master's table. That's what he was fishing for, just like he's fishing for tonight. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. That Roman centurion comes on the behalf of a servant, not a child. A servant, a beloved servant. In desperation and said, my servant is dying and he's beloved. I love him. He's a hard-working man and he's like family to us. Jesus said, let's go take care of him. Non-Jew. And that's not an anti-Semitic statement, so take that out of your head. If you had listened to what I said previously, you know I'm not anti-Semitic. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. It's amazing. When Donald Trump recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, our economy turned around. Just thought I'd throw that out there. And we've had the best economy that we've ever had in 50 years. A 3.5 unemployment rate. Because I will bless him that blesseth thee. And the other side wants to forsake Israel. Amen? Are we having fun yet? But he came to his own. But his own received him not. And there was this Gentile woman, this Syrophoenician woman. And he looked at a non-Jew and said, great is your faith. He goes to help the servant of that young, that Roman centurion. A Roman centurion. And the Roman humbly, it's humility. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven and heal their land. And the centurion said, no, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house. I'm a man of authority as you are. I say to this one, come, and he comes. I say to that one, go, he goes. If you'll just speak the word. If you'll just speak the word, my servant will be healed. And you know what? He doesn't say it to the centurion. He looked at his followers and said, I have not found so great a faith in all Israel. What brought that faith on? His desperation. His humility. that born of desperation brought that cry of help and humility. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Look at me. We're not worthy to be called the sons and daughters of God. But thank God in loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame and love he lifted me. From sinking sands he lifted me. With tender hands he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name, he lifted me. What's he trying to say, Brother Grievous? We're not desperate tonight. We're at ease in Zion. And when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Do you honestly think he's looking for the faith out of Washington? He came to his own. And guess what he's doing the second time? He's coming back for his own. I'm looking at the body of Christ in particular here. And he's coming back. Will he find faith? Faith is usually born out of desperation and obedience to the word of God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. God, listen to me. You know, you can never be too small to be used of God. But you can get too big. Because he resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. What you trying to say, Brother Griffiths? Turn us again, O God. Cause thy face to shine upon us and we shall be saved. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Why do we need revival? Because our prayers are hindered. He said, turn us again. O God, and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine upon us and we shall be saved. How long wilt thou be angry against the prayers of thy people? How long? You know why we need revival, Brother Kevin? Because our prayers are hindered. And the only thing that can hinder prayers, aside from a lack of faith, is our sin. God's ear, Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says, "Our ear, God's ear is not heavy that it cannot hear." I'm so thankful that I serve a God who can hear my prayers and respond to my cry for help and desperation. But let our sins get between him and us. And see how short his arm can be and how heavy his ears become. I don't mean to get sidetracked, but I can honestly tell you this. I'm living in a time when most people don't pray. Most people don't pray. Most people don't pray. You don't have a closet. You don't take that private time and get alone with God. You're not hungry and thirsty and desperate to find you. Listen to me, the best place to be is where God always meets with you. And I know that most people don't pray. It's because most of us just not living right. Second of all, I know most people don't pray. It's because most of the time we can't get along with one another. Are we having fun yet? Jesus Christ said, when you come to offer your gift, and you remember that thy brother hath an ought against thee, he said, leave your gift there. And go reconcile yourself to your brother and then come offer the gift. But if you don't do that, I will not hear you. I will not accept your sacrifice. I will not accept your prayers. I will not receive your gift. Leave it there. But I will put you in the prison house of despair. I'll put you in the prison house of debt. I'll put you in the prison house of desperation. But in that desperation, we can call upon God. Glory to God, is he not in this? We're not desperate. And the psalmist said, oh Lord, how long will you be angry against the prayers of thy people? David said this in Psalm 68 and verse 2. He said this, If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Lord will not hear me. You know what the problem with Christianity today is? We've taken sin and put it on the throne of regard, and we almost worship the sin that has become our little pet. It's amazing when we get desperate how black and wicked that sin becomes to us. Think about that. Let the doctor tell you about such and such a disease. It'll be amazing how black that sin that we have regarded in our hearts becomes to us. Let that little baby that we cherish and nourish and we love it with all our hearts, let the doctor say, whatever. And it will become amazing how wicked our sin becomes to us and how repugnant, and we will say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, but the dogs. Yes, Lord, but the dogs get the crumbs from off the master's table. I'm not worthy for you to come into my house, but if you'll just speak the word. How long, O God, wilt thou be angry against the prayers of thy people? Second reason why we need revival. Is that our peace is hampered. Thou feedest them with the bread of tears and givest them tears to drink in great measure. It's amazing. I want you to notice this, friends. Our theology, look at me, look here. Our experience with Christ doesn't measure up to our theology. We talk about a peace that passeth understanding and a joy unspeakable and full of glory. See, that's our theology. But our experience doesn't measure up. I'll tell you why. We're not desperate enough. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Thou that feedest Israel, thou that feedest my flock, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. And thou hast given us tears to drink in great measure. Apparently, we haven't wept enough. Apparently, we haven't been sorrowful enough. Because we're still pretty complacent, pretty satisfied with ourselves. But this fellow here in the Psalms was not satisfied with himself. He said, I'm tired of drinking. I'm tired of eating bread for tears. And I'm tired of drinking tears in great measure. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Can I say something with a spirit of sympathy and understanding? Can I say something to you from a spirit of sympathy and understanding? Even in our Bible-believing King James-only circle, we have people who are so unright with God that they have to take something to get them up, something to keep them going, and something to put them to sleep. Our experience doesn't measure up to our theology. Yes, we get sick bodies. I turned 68 Tuesday. The check engine light's been on for a while. I've been driving around for the last 8 years with the check engine light on. Literally in my car, but when you're young and healthy, you can go full bore and just live for the day and live for yourself. But wait for the check engine light to come on. I sit there. This is the fourth church I've been in the last 8 days. You see, I like the idea. My mind tells me, My mind tells me I'm 35. My humor tells me I'm 10. And my body says, you still alive? And I sit there. Something flutters. Something that was normal, natural a few years ago is hard. Difficult. Thou givest. And I sit there and say, Lord, I know I don't pray like I should. Oh, Father, forgive me. And I say, Lord, overcome the weakness of this old frail body. Even if it's the last time, overcome the frailty of this old weak, sickly body and let me preach just one more time. I've drank enough tears. I've drank enough and eaten enough tears. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Turn us again, O God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine upon. Thou hast given us tears to drink in great measure. Nothing seems to go right. Can I say this? Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, did they not? Why? Because of disobedience and a lack of faith. They were told to go and take the land. During that time, their shoes never rotted. Their clothes never got worn out. They drank water out of a rock. And every morning they would go out and gather up enough manna to last them for the whole day. And on the Sabbath day, they would get up and gather up enough bread to last for 2 days. And God fed them. God watered them. Even when they complained about just loathsome bread. And God said, you want meat? I'll give you meat. Quail flew in at knee high and they just went around and knocked them out of the sky. Jesus said, I'll give you meat to eat. I'll give it to you in such abundance it'll start coming out your nose. And that's what it says. And you'll loathe it. But they wandered around that same mountain for 40 years when they could have been living in a land flowing with milk and honey. Living in houses they didn't build and harvesting crops that they did not plant. Yeah, their shoes didn't wear out and their clothes didn't wear out. They had miraculous meals served to them every day and water miraculously out of a rock. And think about this. It wasn't a little stream. There was at least 1.5 million people. Can you imagine how long that line would have lasted if it just came out as a little tap? Water, turned it on full blast and just coming out the tap. No, when Moses spoke to that rock, and in his hot temper hit that rock, it gushed out and formed a river of clear drinking water so that 1.5 million people can be satisfied in having their thirst taken care of. But the problem with most of us, we're satisfied with the wandering in the wilderness instead of possessing a land that flows with milk and honey. That the clusters of grapes are so large it takes 2 men to carry them. Yeah. What are you trying to say, Brother Griffiths? He reigns on the just and the unjust alike. But I don't know about you. I don't want what the average sinner has. Lord, give me that mountain. The psalmist said, I'm tired of drinking blood. I'm tired of drinking water or tears. Tired of it. Prayers are hindered. Our peace is hampered. Thirdly, thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine. Our practice is hypocritical. We're content. Look what the Bible says there. And our enemies laugh among themselves. Did you not hear what my wife said in Hobby Lobby? One of God's stores. Just like God's chicken, Chick-fil-A. Most of the time, the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. And when we speak up, when we finally speak up, they laugh at us. Just like they laughed at Lot. Who made you a judge? That's good preaching. Sorry, that's good preaching. His own family mocked him. And the Sodomites were going to do it to him what they were going to do to those two angels if they didn't get out of the way. Mocked him, we have become a strife unto our enemies. They mock us and make fun of us. You know why? Because most of the time we can't tell the difference between a Christian and a heathen. We look like them, we act like them. We go to jail for evil and sin just like them. Can I say this? Since we're just getting ugly and stirring the pot. True story. Woman caught embezzling out of a large independent Baptist church. I don't know where they come up with that kind of money in the independent Baptist church. They caught her and she had embezzled over a couple of years $100,000. Like I said, where did that come from? Put her in jail. They brought her orange jumpsuit. And she said, I don't wear that. It pertains to a man. What about that conviction? Thou shalt not steal. What about that conviction? Thou shalt not covet. Amen? That's a whole lot better. That conviction would have kept her out of prison and she wouldn't have had to put the jumpsuit on. That's good preaching. I don't care what anybody says. And can you imagine that heathen guard hearing that fall from the lips of that overpious, self-righteous, not desperate woman? At the end of my shift, I'm going home. But you stay here, thief. You stay here. We're not desperate. Our self-righteousness has made us blind and we have forgotten that we were once purged from our old sins. I showed you three things why we need revival. Can I show you quickly three results of revival? So will we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. First result of revival is people pray. We pray. In our desperation, we pray. When we realize, yes, I'm nothing but a dog. And I'm not worthy for you to come into my house if you just speak the word. Hey, what about that prodigal? He was willing to pray to his father, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. I've sinned against heaven and you, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But if you'll just make me as one of your hired servants. That's a pretty good indication of repentance. But the idea that he confessed that he'd sinned against heaven, sinned against God, and no more worth. I'm not even worthy to be called your son, Dad. And that's all the while, Brother Harry. I love this story. I just heard it again today on the radio. Coming up from the Marietta Bible College. But I love this little thought I had. When the father saw him, and he ran to him, the Bible says it in the tense. He just didn't kiss him. He just repeatedly kissed his son. Repeatedly hugged his son. And through the tears and the hugs of a of a grateful father and a happy father. My son who was lost is now found. My son who was dead is now alive. His boy was trying to pray, I've sinned against thee, and I've sinned against heaven, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But he didn't get to finish the rest of his made-up prayer. Just make me as one of your hired servants. He pulls away, holding on to his son, who still stunk in the pig pen. His clothes still had the stench of hogs and slop on it. But he was praying. He was hungry. He said, I'm starving to death in this pig pen and this slop. And my father's servants have bread enough in to spare. I will arise and go to my father's house. He was desperate. He was so desperate, he was willing to be made a servant and no longer called a son. But the father heard all he needed to hear. Go kill the fatted calf, put a robe on his back, put shoes on his feet, and a ring on his finger. And it wasn't just a ring, but it was a signet. So that whenever he needed something at a store, he just showed them that signet and he could get it. Everything was restored because he was willing to be made less than a son. And all the while, his father was kissing him. He was praying. Can I say something to you? One of the best indications that we're right with God is that we pray. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Make us alive. We're dead. Make us alive because we're dead. We're lifeless. Turn again, oh God, and cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. We're tired of the tears. We're tired of the hypocrisy. We're tired of the mockery. God, help us, please. Praying in desperation. And then when we get right with God, we've been restored to a place of communication. And we talk to him. Quicken us, O God, and we will call upon thy name. Second sign of revival. Psalm 85, verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? When you get right with God, we pray. When we get right with God, we praise him. We praise him. I love the songs that were sung tonight. That first one that my wife sang, she wrote that. And if he doesn't offer me healing, I get to see his face instead. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. People that are right with God are grateful people. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Thank you, Lord. Can I just say this, and this is, I'm just about done with this point, just about done with the sermon. When was the last time in our prayer, getting alone with God? And yes, thank God we can pray washing dishes, we can pray going down the road. Every now and then I get a prayer request on Facebook. And I stop what I'm doing and I pray. I pray. But it's not the same when I go up to the tabernacle, Brother Harry, and there's nobody there, and I fall on my face behind that pulpit, and there I stay sometimes as much as an hour and a half and 2 hours. And I found out the more I praise him, the more his presence I sense. And there's been times I got on my face before God, and the next thing I know, I spent almost an hour just thanking him. You've got nothing to thank him for. End of September, I was really beginning to wonder if I was ever going to get to preach like this again. I wouldn't be surprised it hadn't crossed my wife's mind. Had that surgery. Had complications after the surgery that kept me ridden. I couldn't do much of anything. except sit there in that recliner for over 13 days. I had a bunch of revival meetings. I've told you guys this. There at Countryside, I had a couple of revival meetings and another place to go preach. And I said, Lord, in my desperation, I began to weep and say, Lord, can I keep my obligations in November? And I said, Lord, I just don't want to keep my obligations. I want to preach. I want to preach. I don't want to do it like Joel Osteen. I want to do it like George Griffiths at Camp Victory. Na-na-na-na-boo-boo. He's back. And I thank him. And please just take this as one fella whose engine light has come on, you know, and all that stuff. Sometimes it would be easy just to call my understanding and sympathetic friends there and say, I need to go home. I just don't feel well. And he'd say, okay. But you know what I'm afraid of, Brother Lewis? If I close the door that God opened, he may not open it again for a long time. So I just think I'll hunker down and wade on out into the water and thank him for the privilege. Glory to God, what a good God we serve. And you can tell you're right with God when you praise him. And then last of all, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, there's that phrase, Psalm 126, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, look at me, when we get right with God, the heathen won't laugh anymore. That's what it says there. The Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us wherever we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And one of the best ways you can tell you revive with the Lord, we've had revival. We pray to him, we praise him, and we're passionate for lost souls. We're passionate for lost souls. Where's your passion tonight? Take inventory. We saw why we need revival. We spent the last 15 minutes looking at the results of revival. What's our inventory tonight? How do we stand before the Lord? Do we pray like we should? Do we praise him like we should? Are we passionate for old lost souls like we ought to be? Every head bowed and every eye closed.